podcast, anyone?
Tom and Loggy and a K-Rock audio presentation of the finest quality.
Got a very special guest joining us in the studio today. It is World Epilepsy Day, and Brooke Studham is someone who we've known for quite a while. But Brooke, thank you for coming in, because your life has been touched by epilepsy in an incredibly tragic way. So firstly, welcome, but also with that welcome, I'd like to say a big thank you for being so brave and coming in and talking to us today.
No, thank you very much for having me.
Mate, sorry to jump in, Log, but can you just tell us why and how epilepsy has touched your life?
So epilepsy touched our lives many, many years ago. So we have three children. Our middle daughter in prep had two seizures at school, and that's where our journey started, at the age of five. And then 3 years ago, our daughter passed away from SUDEP, so sudden unexpected death in epilepsy.
I don't even, my heart just breaks for you and your family. There are no words ever going to be able to express my sorrow for you for going through that. That just sounds absolutely horrible. Did you know that this was a possibility? Is this why you're speaking out about this now? Because I'm going to be honest, I've never heard of SUDEP before.
Yep, so we were very vigilant. Because the process, the process is you don't just have one or two epileptic seizures or any seizures and then the investigations are quick and you're back on meds and then your life continues. There's a lot of years that you've got to check medications. They've got to actually in and out of hospital to make sure that it is epilepsy. It's not any other underlying causes. You know, there's no other illnesses. So that takes a toll. But we did a lot of research. I'm very vigilant at research. I love research. I come from sort of an aged care nursing background. So I love the medical side of things. So we did a lot of research. So we knew that SUDEP was a possibility. But like everything, you get in a car every single day, you don't think you're going to have a car accident.
Yeah.
So we knew about SUDEP. We took precautions. We had cameras. We had everything set up that we thought we were protecting our daughter. And it still happened to us.
There's nothing. It's not your fault. It's nothing that you did or didn't do. I just need to say that because
But as a parent, you still, like everyone tells you that and you know that deep down. But as a parent, it's still internally in there.
Yeah. You lost your beautiful Charlotte at 13.
Yep, so November the 3rd was when we woke up to our nightmare. So she was 13. She was 3 weeks off her first ever dance concert. We'd just come back from a long weekend, which she absolutely loved. We'd go camping. She was able to enjoy running around and being a kid with all her friends. She had walkie-talkies. It was a really amazing weekend. We came back. Nothing out of the ordinary. She did have a small seizure at school that Wednesday night. She had a wicked sense of humour. She didn't want to be carried. She wanted to walk up. Mm. So we picked her up, and it wasn't unusual to pick her up from school early. It wasn't unusual for her to have reduced hours at school because of it. So, she came home. She was fine. We had an OT appointment, which she loved. Ate dinner, went to bed, was on her iPad, chatting to all her friends, the boyfriend, went to bed. And then, we woke up to her alarm going off, and then that's where it all turned pear-shaped.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. I'm so just in awe of you being able to talk about this, and the reason that you've come in today is to raise awareness for this.
Yep.
And that's why today is so special, Purple Up for Epilepsy. I didn't realise that 1 in 26 people have epilepsy.
Yep.
And so this is much more common than I think what we realise. And if you don't have a friend or family member that has it, it does seem a bit of a confusing illness as well.
Yep.
A lot of people don't know what's involved with epilepsy.
I think with epilepsy, people who aren't touched by it in their own lives or people that they know would put it in almost a diabetes basket as well, where what you know of it is very basic, and you just think, right, it's something that they diagnose and then they medicate or they whatever they do, and then people live with it, and that's
All the other things that you don't see.
Yeah, absolutely.
So medication is limiting. It will only help so much, but also changing and growing. So Charlotte was, becoming a woman. There was hormones involved. That changes all your neuropathways. So it's all about the neuropathways in your brain. Look at them like a road. And for whatever reason, one of those pathways is not working. It's highly electrical. But then the signals get mixed up, and that's where things start going pear-shaped in the brain. And it can, you know, you could have one in your lifetime and never have any again, or you could have them for a long time. You could have them as a child and then grow out of them. It's, you know, your brain is an organ and it's moving and changing and growing. And
yeah. I think the other thing is, like, with days like today, to purple up for epilepsy is a person who, like me, doesn't know much about it, who can educate themselves in how to help someone who is maybe having a seizure as well. Is that part of the process?
Yeah, so the reason I jump in at Epilepsy Action Australia and decided, so we had 12 months of obviously living and breathing through losing our daughter, and then I wanted to make something of it. I needed something, but I also wanted to educate because there was a lot of stigma around it. There's a lot of stigma around, okay, well, she just has seizures, that's it. But there's so many other things, you know, like the workload of school, you know, being tired, being exhaustion, social skills. You know, a lot of people that have epilepsy have learning disabilities. They can also have autism. There's so many things that the brain is so complex. So we used Epilepsy Action Australia a few times too for the school to get a care plan printed out. They have fact sheets. They have so many things. Yeah. And when Charlotte was going to go to people's houses, I'd print off those, you know, what to do in an emergency. And I'd always highlight stay calm, because that's the first thing you do. If you ever see anybody that looks like they're having an epileptic seizure, it's just stay calm, monitor them, you know, and there's nothing wrong with calling an ambulance, because what's the worst that happens? They turn up, they say they're fine and everything's okay. So I'm a big advocate for that. So.
Brooke, Charlotte was clearly a beautiful girl. She was lucky to be born into such an amazing family, and you guys are carrying on her legacy. We are so sorry, as we've said already, for your loss, and you should be very proud of the steps that you've taken since. We certainly are very proud of you, and just keep flying that flag and spreading the word, because, as you say, epilepsy is very much misunderstood or not well understood around Australia and around the world, and we urge everybody to educate themselves and get online and find out more about epilepsy on this World Epilepsy Day, and wear purple as well.
Yeah, purple's a fun colour, so why not?
It's the Tom and Loggie podcast. It's their radio show in a podcast.
I just need to chat about something that happened on Maths last night. I know you haven't really been watching it, and that's fine. Everyone else has been. But Danny and Beck, we've spoken to both of them on the show before. Yeah. They're together, and they had home stays. Now, Beck lives in Adelaide, and she lives in quite an affluent suburb.
Yeah.
Danny, he doesn't have any family or friends here because he's from the UK. Well, he's got friends here, but none of his, you know, he doesn't have a home base here. He lives in Melbourne though, right? And so he went over to her house. Now, they were discussing it at the dinner party last night. Yeah. And here's what happened.
I don't know how I'd want to navigate if I was to move to Adelaide, how the logistics of it would look as a man.
As a man,
I feel like, do you know what I mean? Like, it's more Beck's house than it
like
is my house.
Like moving into her house. Yeah,
yeah, correct. Like I'd want to sit down and speak to Beck on a deeper level about that. Because, like, I feel like if you move in with a woman, and, like, I would never just move in. Like, we'd have to talk about that on a deeper level in the sense that, like,
I'm not moving out of my house.
Point of view anyway, I suppose everyone looks at it different, but it makes you feel like a bit of a bitch moving in with a woman.
What are you on about?
So the comment he made was it makes him feel like a bee.
Yeah.
Moving in with a woman.
Because he's moving into her house.
And then all the men at the table were like, some were like, yeah, man, I agree. Like, you know, it's up to the man to provide and all this stuff. And then they all kind of went around and some of the men were like, yeah, no, I get where you're coming from and everything. And the women were just like, there was one, Gia, who was like, no, I like that because I'm into traditional values. But everyone else was like, what are you talking about? Like, it's 2026. And then some of the other guys were like, it's emasculating to move into her house. And she's like, I live in a $1 million house that's 5 minutes from the city of Adelaide that has a $97,000 mortgage left on it. It's massive and it's amazing. And if you came, you would be part of that. Like, what are you talking about? Make me understand, like, your true thoughts because, you know, from, like, what? Why would it make someone feel like a bee to move in with a woman who is established. I don't get it.
That's dumb. If you've got a, sort of a very fragile male ego, then that would...
Okay.
That's what that is. It's the cool. fragility of the male psyche. Honestly, that's dumb. It's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a nice house... Okay, so the caveat is if you move in and you're not allowed to touch things or, you know, if she's,
yeah.
if she's a bee about and she... She makes you feel like you're a guest in the house.
Yes.
Absolutely. Move out again. Like, and, yeah. and that might be part of why he's like, why don't we move interstate and then land there and it be. So maybe you do a test run first or whatever. But if yeah. it's a, mate, if it's.
Well, that's what she said.
A nice enough house. Big enough house even. Doesn't even have to be nice enough.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, like, if it's a house that is styled by a woman and set up by a woman, automatically it's going to be nicer than whatever he can roll out. You
right,
know what I'm
saying? Yeah. And the thing is, right, they did speak on that. He said, you know, how do I, like, one of the other guys said, you know, but are you going to make space for his stuff? And she's like, obviously,
yeah.
we'll make space, like, yeah. for your yeah. stuff. You know what I mean? And he's like, yeah, no, I would just... He would prefer if he had a house and she was moving into that. And I just, thank you, because I'm like, all the men in the room agreed. No. And I was like, what am I missing here? Why is it emasculating? Like, why do you feel threatened by a woman being like, hey, I have this amazing thing and I'm going to move into that amazing thing with you?
Yeah.
And other people were like, we're a team. Yeah. Like, it's all about being a team.
These are people that have never had a healthy relationship because, you know, this is regardless of who's moving into whose house, male, female, whatever.
Yeah.
It's something you need to navigate where you go,
yes.
hey, now we've got two couches. Well, that's the nice one. Let's keep that. Or
right.
let's put that out in the shed and let's put all your stuff in the garage where you used to. Shape surfboards because
no.
it was your one escape.
No, that didn't happen.
Now Jimmy can't shape surfboards anymore because all his stuff is in the shed.
That
and
is
all
not
your
true.
Stuff is in the house.
Anyway, I'm glad. I'm glad that you are the person I think you are. Thank you.
It's a radio show in a podcast. And now in your ears, it's the Tom and Loggy podcast.
Hey, let's play this.
A line from a film, song or TV show. Can you guess the word beneath my wind?
I always laugh over the fart at the end, don't
Chris,
I?
Chris, oh, so do I. You're amazing, Chris. Well done. This is the word beneath my wind.
Yep, it's a game we came up with and, look, we didn't have a name
no,
for
No, you
it.
Have to take credit for it, not because okay. I don't want to, because I feel bad because it's actually so good. I wish I did.
It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. Essentially, I'll play you a piece of audio. Could be a song, could be from a movie, TV show, could be a sort of a news piece from the week.
Yeah.
I like to keep it topical, relevant.
Do you?
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And a little bit spicy. Coming out the other end.
No, we don't need to. We've got a lot going on.
Right.
So we don't need the extra
okay.
on top.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I then cut a word out.
Yeah.
And replace it with some gas, some flatulence. And then you need to guess what the word is.
Mm.
Are you ready to play?
I'm so ready.
It's a best of three arrangement. Question number one for the word beneath my wind this week sounds like this.
Oh my God, once again, the best part of this game is the fact that you're waiting for what word it's going to be.
It's about the anticipation,
isn't
it? And
then it's the perfect one that you've chosen to cover that word. The word is living, Tom.
Let's find out, Lauren. Brilliant. Good on you, mate. Well done. Living is correct. That is the word beneath my wind.
Oh, my God.
A little bit of a different tack for this one.
Yeah.
You're going to have to be on your toes.
Oh, okay.
Because this one, if I tell you what it...
No, that's cool.
Too much, I'll give it away.
Yeah.
But just think laterally with this one.
Okay.
Okay, don't think about the rules of the game too rigidly. Okay?
Right.
Right,
okay.
Here we go. Question number two.
A little glance at the watch from the referee. Last chance saloon for the Matildas. The defensive header is away. The full-time whistle goes. Japan have done it again. They are too good.
Oh my God.
What do you think is missing there?
A goal? A missed goal?
No.
A kick. A win.
What happens at the end of the game?
Japan win. Whistle. They blow the whistle.
A little glance at the watch from the referee. Last chance saloon for the Matildas. The defensive header is away. And the full-time whistle goes.
I haven't done it again, though, so I've got one out of three.
One out of two so far.
50-50
is pretty good.
Yeah.
All right, this is for redemption. A word beneath my wind. We're back to words, so this will help you out.
Okay.
What is missing here?
Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Iron Man.
It's bats.
Yes.
Bats.
Don't kill me. Don't kill me. Man.
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
Oh, another quality 5 out of 5 game for you, mate.
Well done. 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
It hurts to play this game. Yeah. It actually hurts my stomach and my face.
It's a good ab workout, isn't it? But we'll play again next Thursday.
A line from a film, song or TV show. Can you guess the word beneath my wind?
Listen to the radio show weekday mornings from 6 on K-Rock. And come on back for some more right here anytime. Tom and Loggie, say thanks.
I feel so confused because on the weekend at the Torquay pub with my mates, one of them, he was like, oh, I'm feeling a bit hot, can't take off my jumper though. I'm like, why? He's like, And I'm like, are you raw dogging a jumper?
Mm.
And he confessed that, yes, he was raw dogging a jumper. He was just wearing a jumper with nothing underneath. And that, to me, is wild.
Have you not felt the marvellous sensation that is fleece on your chest?
No, get it on your arms. You don't need it on your chest.
I like it.
No, you don't.
I do. I don't mind it. I wouldn't do a woolly jumper.
Ridiculous.
I wouldn't do a knit sort of without a top underneath. But, you know, does he have a six-pack? Because, you know, I can imagine that someone who likes to go, oh, whoops, sorry, my top's come up.
Like you just then. Thank you.
That was
that
not
visual.
An accident. That
no.
wasn't an accident.
I know it
purpose.
Wasn't an accident.
Sucked in.
Oh, God. Hey, raw dogging jumpers, let's discuss. Let's start off with Charlie from Whittington. Charlie, do you raw dog a jumper?
Yes.
No, you don't. You're lying, aren't you, Charlie?
I'm not. I actually do.
Charlie?
I go to school with, like, adaptation, just like my rugby jumper.
Duh.
Okay, rugby jumper's different. Rugby jumper's cotton. It's not fleecy inside, but it's also my school jumpers was this woolen, like, itchy thing. So I can't imagine you wearing the old school style school jumper, are you, Charlie?
Yep. Yeah, we're wearing like a rugby jumper.
No, rugby jumper.
Yeah. No, you're muddying the waters, Tom. Shut up.
Sorry.
Thanks, Charlie.
Michael
from Newcombe, do you raw dog a jumper?
All the time, Loggy. I'm with you, Tom.
Yeah. It's a sensation, isn't it?
No, so like hoodies, zip ups with nothing underneath.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. I'm actually raw dogging a top right now.
What's the top look like, Michael?
Nice and fleecy.
Nice and fleecy.
Oh, you'll enjoy that today if you get hot. Good sweating in there too.
Well,
nice.
Well,
it's just a dad bod if the top comes off, that's all.
Yeah. Well, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Let your freak flag fly.
I was going to say that too.
Where?
To be fair, we did mention the zipper down the middle. Like if it's a zip hoodie, I'm less on board because, like,
I
don't like that.
Mate, there's so many caveats you're trying to throw into the mix. The fact is, all jumpers cannot be raw dogged. End of story. Isn't that right, Kelly from Grovedale?
Hello.
Yeah, there, Kel. Hey, what do you reckon? Can you raw dog a jumper or not?
Yep.
Yes.
Yep, right. Full stop.
You can.
Yeah. Is there, what, so if you're going to raw dog a jumper, what type of jumper is it?
A hoodie.
A hoodie. There you go.
Terrible, see, the Kelly.
The one. Yeah. Nah,
sorry. Love your work, but I don't
it's
on
just,
this
it's
occasion.
It's a wonderful, like, sensation, you know. It's just a little, gives a little tickle. Jayla in Mount Dunedin, what say you? Wrap this up for us, mate. Can you raw dog a jumper?
Yeah, of course you can. You know what? I think it's so uncommon to find someone who's actually wearing a T-shirt underneath.
What?
So I think if anyone's wearing a T-shirt underneath their jumper, more predominantly it's a male. I can't think of a single one of my girlfriends or any girls that I know that would wear a T-shirt underneath.
Okay,
wow.
Look, I know that I'm tomboy-esque, but I have T-shirts under all of my jumpers. Every single
That's
jumper
crazy
has...
to me.
That is a huge statement, Jayla.
I'm
so sorry.
Confused.
Look, I don't want to overstep, but I want to know, is there another layer that, you know, sort of a support, more supportive layer that is involved?
Oh,
yeah, of course. Like, I wouldn't just completely wear nothing, of course, underneath, okay. But I'm not wearing a singlet or a T-shirt. I think there's even, like, people have made jokes on TikTok about literally the situation that you've had about how, you know, if you're hot and you want to take off your jumper but you've got nothing on underneath.
Yeah.
So you know how you can alleviate that? By wearing something underneath.
Tom and Loggy, that was a podcast. And hear the whole experience weekdays live from 6 a.m. Geelong's K-Rock.